nation was considered to be one of the only nations in the known world that considered prayer to be a very important part of their national lives. And this prayer was virtually mandatory. Prayer had to be done at 9 a.m. in the morning, 12 noon, and 3 p.m. in the afternoon. And it didn't matter where they were at the time, they needed to pray. They needed to pray. And their prayers often were very long and ecclesiastical and fluent. But what they didn't realise was the fact that they were being seen by others praying and everyone admired them. My, how religious these people are. And they did that constantly. There is a story told where Jesus went into the synagogue and there was a Pharisee and a tax collector. The Pharisee said, "Thank God that I'm not like him, a sinner." Remember that story? Yet the tax collector asked God, "Forgive me, for I am a sinner." The comparisons are far apart. Yet sometimes these Pharisees thought that praying like that was their right because they're the leaders of the church. So they were long. They were involved. They took time. If you remember the story of the prophets of Baal as they went and they cried out to Baal to destroy this offering. For half a day, they ranted and raved. And nothing happened. Absolutely nothing happened. And if you think that long prayers is only with the Jews, that's not true. It is recorded in the 18th century in Scotland that the Scottish services there took 1 hour verse lectures, another hour for sermons, and by the way, I won't be preaching for an hour, I can assure you, and another hour for prayer. Well, they considered the longer you pray, you're going to be heard of God. And that's possibly true. I mean, those of you who have children and grandchildren, the more that your children or grandchildren harp on a thing, the less you just give up and give them what they want for peace and quiet. But it doesn't have, and that's what's the whole attitude to these people. They thought the longer they prayed, God is going to change his mind and do something for us that may not be in his will and purpose. Doesn't happen like that. It never has and it never will. So despite the fact that we can spend hours in prayer, standing on street corners and so forth does not mean a thing to God. Yet we read in these verses that Jesus said, if you pray, go into a room, close the door, and speak to God from your heart. Go into your room, close the door, and speak to God from your heart. This does not exclude the fact that we have corporate prayer in churches. And next week we're having a prayer meeting. It does not exclude it. It means when we gather together as a corporate body, we are praying for the things that are important to our church and the church's life and the national life. In the life and ministry of our church. But when you're praying by yourself, Jesus is saying, go into a room, close the door, let no one will hear you. And then he gave us an example of prayer as we read down further the Lord's Prayer. In actual fact, it's probably a misnomer that we call it the Lord's Prayer. Jesus never prayed it. Never prayed it. You know why? Forgive us our trespasses. Jesus did not have to pray that. He was a sinless being. So probably the best way of describing what we call the Lord's Prayer is the disciples' prayer. A prayer for his disciples. And it was a prayer given to them as to how they should pray and what they should pray for. And it's split up. In the first three petitions, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. An expression of the sovereignty of God, expression that God who lives in heaven is the author and perfecter of our faith, who created all things. So Jesus is saying the first thing you need to do is acknowledge God and the trust we should have him and the understanding of God does things for us in his purpose, in his will, for his glory, that we might reap the benefit. Who is in heaven, lives in heaven, holy be your name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. No problem in heaven. The will of God is done. No question. But on earth, different story, isn't it? From time to time we think of our own self-will, our self-understanding, which leads to disarray, dismay, and not actually looking at the primary purposes of the church, and that is the gospel of Jesus. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does that signify to us? It signifies that we need to have a proper understanding of the lordship and the sovereignty of God over all things. If his will is to be done, we need to have a great relationship with God. And that is through prayer, or one of those parts is through prayer. And what the Bible is saying to us, or Jesus is saying to us, this is the principles by which you pray. That God is king. There's something interesting also. Our Father. It's probably one of the first recorded times that Jesus actually refers to God as our Father. If you look at the scripture and if you look at the manuscripts, the Jewish people always called him Yahweh, O Lord our God, Jehovah God, but never our Father. And that really depicts the relationship we have with God. An understanding of the relationship we have with God. And the only reason we have that relationship with God is because we accept the fact that Jesus Christ has saved us from our sins. Another reason why we should call it the disciples' prayer. No one other than disciples could pray this prayer. No one. Our Father, which is important to us. Hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us this day our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Conditional. We need to be right with God. We need to be right with other people. We need forgiveness of our sins. We need to forgive others who sinned against us. Conditional, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive us, Lord, for the sin we've committed as we do with other people. So what does that mean? What is the outcome of that? If you want God to forgive us for the sins that we have committed, yet at the same time saying, yeah, I might forgive you, but I'll never forget it, or that you might not just forgive. Consider the consequences of our action. We are asking God to forgive us the sins we have committed as we have forgiven others. Conditional forgiveness. Let's make it very clear. We're not talking about the forgiveness we get when we receive Christ as our Lord and Saviour. We are forgiven. We are talking about the conditional forgiveness that this prayer gives to us. Our relationship with God, our relationship with other people is dependent upon what we do. And what we need to think about is learn to understand. Understand why people have done what they have done. Learn forgiveness in love. Learn to love. And the only way we can do that is because of that. Learn to understand, forgive, and love. If our relationships are not great with other people, it is very clear to me that our relationship with God is not great either, and it's clear to me that God, in his wisdom, cannot use us. The principles of this prayer is set out that we might understand what our relationship should be. Our relationship to God, our relationship to one another is very important in our prayer life. And if one is not, and if one is not there, then we're in big trouble. It is said that Robert Louis Stevenson, in his family prayer, they prayed the Lord's Prayer. And this particular night he got up and went outside. And his wife said to him, "What's wrong?" He said, "I cannot pray the Lord's Prayer. Forgive others. Forgive us as we forgive others." He had a problem. It was a situation that he did not forgive. And he walked out of the room until such time as he looked after that situation. So it's very important that we have a great relationship with God, we acknowledge God as Lord and Saviour, and we have a relationship with others. Conditional. Forgive those as you forgive one another. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In actual fact, it should read, deliver us from the evil one. Not from evil, from the evil one. Lead us not into temptation. Now, one would have thought that temptation is something that really is not very good. But let me just tell you that temptation brings strong faith. Resisting temptation bring strong understanding in Jesus. Temptation is not there that you may fall, although sometimes we may fall. Temptation is there so that you can endure, so that you can be used of God. I mean, in a construction site, and steel is used in major projects. Before that is done, the steel is tested and stressed in all situations to ensure that it will resist. Certain things, earthquakes, etc. God is tempting us that we may be tested so that we may resist and be strengthened in his will and purpose. So temptation is not there. It is there to strengthen your purpose and your relationship to God. Just as Jesus was tempted before he started his ministry, on all points, so it is. We are actually strengthened by temptation. And can I reiterate that if you're not being tempted, then the evil one has no problem. You are not a threat. Something to think about. For thine. Although it's not recorded here. It's not recorded in Luke either. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. So what Jesus has set out is that you should not actually be pious in what you do. When you pray, you go into a room, close the door and lock it, remembering that even before you ask, God knows what you want. Which is actually, give us our daily bread. He knows what we want before we ask him. So the principles of the Lord's Prayer is very straightforward. One, it is a prayer for the disciples. Two, it is a prayer that is in three parts. The principle that God is sovereign, acknowledging God as he should be. Acknowledging God will give us all our needs. Acknowledging the fact that our relationship with other people is dependent upon our relationship with God. Our relationship with other people is dependent upon our relationship with God. And temptation is a way that we can be strengthened in our faith, our understanding, that we may be used of God. For what reason? For yours is the glory, yours is the power, now and forevermore. As we pray, that is what we should be looking for in our prayers. And I don't believe that we will believe the great things that God can do in and through us as we pray as individuals and as we pray together. Let's pray. O God, O Father, we thank you for the privilege that you give to us prayer, that you give to us the opportunity that we can come before your throne of grace, naming the name of Jesus, praying in the power of the Holy Spirit, that we might know your will, that we might understand your purposes, and our ministry. That your gospel will be spread. That people will come to hear and to acknowledge you as Lord and Saviour. In this we pray in the name of Christ, the only King and Head of the Church. Amen. We're going to stand together as we sing our final hymn, Your Word is Good and Ever Faithful. Let's stand and sing.